This is City Lights on WABE at Latter's Choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes. Sucheta Rao's latest children's book takes its readers to Indonesia. It's the third in her series featuring world-traveling feline Beato as he navigates new cultures, new foods, and new friends. Smyrna resident Sucheta is a world traveler herself, and Beato is based on her real-life Norwegian forest cat. I spoke with her about this series, which has also taken Beato to Greenland and Israel.
So a lot of people ask me, there are so many countries in the world, and I personally have been to 69. But why did I pick these three as my first three books and not India, because I'm also from India? So it was basically based on my personal travels and experiences meeting these children in the countries. In Greenland, I stayed with Ina. She's a real life character that you see in the book, and she has a sheep farm that I stayed with her at, and this is 40 minutes away from the next village, which is 40 minutes by boat. So she's cut off from the rest of the world. She lives there with her mom and dad. And when I came there to visit, her entire world centered around me. Because this is a child who's 7 years old, has no internet, no cell phone, no school, no kids around to play with, no neighbors. It's her 200 sheep, her dogs, her parents, and glaciers in her backyard. So we had such a good time. We went around running in the fields, picnicking, playing with the animals, and she was my tour guide. She was showing me around the southern part of Greenland when I was there. And I just felt like that was a personality that I really wanted to share with other children around the world, to see how kids live in different parts and how their lives can be so drastically different.
Have you been in touch with her since?
I have. I've been in constant touch with her, and I also sent her a copy of the book when it came out. And I asked her mom to record her reaction to the book. And the moment she opened the book, she had no clue about that this was going to happen. She started crying because the first thing she saw were her two dogs, who are exact same images of her dogs back then. But since then, they had to be shot because they had been attacked by a wolf.
Oh, so that she is so sad. Sucheta. Beato meets Old Yeller in Greenland. In Beato Goes to Indonesia, the latest book, a lot of the book emphasizes conservation and endangered species. What other themes do you try to highlight?
I try to have a theme in every book, if not even every page, that parents can actually talk to their kids about as they're reading. So things like religion, yoga, eating healthy food, conserving animals, looking at different kinds of landscapes like volcanoes or underwater life or things like that, that you may also have had an experience. Maybe there was a time you used to fly kites when you were little, and you want to talk to your kids about that while you're reading the book. Or how people harvest rice in some countries, that is the staple food, and why is it so important for them? Or how children are supposed to respect the elderly or those who have passed. When they enter the house, they always say a prayer. That's one of the pages in Indonesia. Or how do they celebrate their version of Christmas? You know, not everybody around the world has Christmas, but they have an important festival that they celebrate, and how do they do that? So every page has some sort of a learning lesson, but it's also something I learned as I traveled, and I'm an adult, but I'm still constantly learning these things.
I noticed in Beato Goes to Israel, a girl named Helena takes Beato around and to the four different quarters in Jerusalem. And there is equal attention paid to all the various cultures. In the end, Beata asks Helena what her religion is, and she never answers it. Mm. That seemed deliberate on your part.
Absolutely. So I picked the name Helena because it is also difficult to tell what kind of ethnicity she belongs to. And at the end, Beata has all these experiences of seeing the most historical religious sites in the world. And he wants to ask her, what does she follow? But the message that is from this book is that all of God's people are the same. And she respects all of the religions, especially these are all in her backyard. And she wants to take the best of all of them, but not really feel that she has to align herself towards one.
I'm intrigued by Beato's taste in food, his appetite and his taste in food. I mean, it's quite logical that he would enjoy the fish when he got off the boat in the port city, mm-hmm. but he really likes the falafel and hummus. I know that food is one of your great loves. What is there about food that can help people connect across cultures?
The first thing people look for when they're trying to understand another culture is the food. Think about in Atlanta, we always thinking about where to go out to dine, where do we meet our friends or family, go out for celebrations. And we don't think about, oh, this is a Malaysian restaurant, or Italian restaurant, or Greek restaurant. We just go because we like to taste new things and we want to have a great time. So food is the first window that opens to another culture. And it's starting with that window that we get interested in. Why do people eat certain things? What are some festivals associated with those things? And then perhaps I'd like to go there one day and taste the food in that country. So Italy is, of course, so popular because of that. They have wonderful food and everybody wants to go there and taste the best pasta and pizza and tomatoes and gelato. That is the reason everybody likes to taste the culture through the food. Also, I was doing some research and found out that over 50% of people, when they travel, the first thing they are making the decision on the destination is on the food.
In your books, in your writing, in your blogging, you emphasize the importance of travel, but you also emphasize travel with a purpose. Why that distinction?
I was traveling a lot before just for pleasure. And I would go to these countries, stay in a hotel, pick up a guidebook, eat at the restaurants listed in the guidebooks, and come back with the exact same pictures all of my friends had from those places. And after a while, I felt like it was becoming so monotonous that I wasn't really experiencing anything new. It was more of the same, just go there, take a picture in front of the monuments, eat all in the tourist places, and come back. And then I discovered that I could do something called volunteer vacations, where I can stay with either a host family or with other travelers in a house and have home-cooked meals, go out to meet other people in their homes, and also volunteer a part of the time I was there. Now, these are not necessarily project-based, like I'm going to go build a house or change the world. It's more for a few hours every day, go to the elderly daycare facility, have a chat with the women there, go to the women's shelter, understand what their problems are, what are the social issues facing the country, maybe go to school and help out. And that way I'm also talking to the teachers and they're telling me what are their favorite places to eat in the evening or where do they like to go on the weekend. So I'm making friends and it's, I think, more for me to be able to understand the culture more than just from a tourist standpoint and also give back and have a more positive footprint in the country that I visited.
What do kids get out of travel?
It is such an interesting age if you start kids early on to take them to different countries because they have this wide introspection and open-heartedness about accepting new things. And oftentimes parents come to me and say, I don't want to take my kids right now because they're too young. They will not understand. They will not remember anything. But I respond to them, you will be more surprised in how many ways their personality is going to be affected. Maybe they won't remember the monument that you went to, but they will remember meeting another child and playing soccer with them or exchanging different kinds of board games with them. And when they grow up to be adults, they will have such a broad sense of a viewpoint from the world that that's nothing else can teach them that at that age.
The illustrations are vivid and very engaging. How did you choose your illustrators?
So that's an interesting story because I'm originally from India and I've been living in Atlanta for the last 20 years. And my publisher is from Nepal and he's based in Virginia. And I found these two ladies in Romania who do children's book illustrations. And I found them online through a website. And I was searching for very good illustrators. I narrowed it down to a few people around the world. But these two ladies and I, we just clicked and I liked their work. And they worked with me on these last three books and hopefully a few more.
Well, I'm curious, Sucheta, have you taken your pets abroad?
Unfortunately not. Both my pets don't like going in the car too far away.
Much less airplanes
yes.
and ships. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Lewis. Thanks for having me.